Thursday, August 23rd, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I am coming to you from the Mile High City. I am right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, if you are tired of the same old sports talk, you are tired of the arguments on the line, the callers yelling into their phones, just hang out here for a while. You are going to like it a little bit better. You know, we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We prefer to laugh at most of the sports world because honestly, a lot of it is actually pretty funny. And we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. I hope that your week is going well. That weekend is now getting very, very close to us. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know how your week is going. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to email us, dailydosports@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a suggestion. Maybe you have some feedback for the show. Maybe you have something that you would like us to cover. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out. You know, we've got a lot to get to today. There are a couple of stories coming out in the world of breaking news that we want to make sure that we do cover. And as we've done all week, we've been examining the road to success in the world of football this coming season, which is getting here very, very quickly. And today, we are going to continue to look at a few items that we are going to be finding along that road to success. We'll be talking about that here in just a few minutes. Of course, the big news of the day is that Ohio State on Wednesday night suspended Urban Meyer for the first three games of this upcoming season after a two-week investigation found that the head coach mishandled domestic assault allegations that were made against his former assistant coach, Zach Smith, and that he misrepresented what he knew about the situation in a public statement back in July. Now, Meyer was suspended without pay from interacting with the football team through September 2nd. He can rejoin the team at that point, but he will not be able to coach in games against, get ready, this is quite the slate of games that they're going to keep him out of. Urban Meyer will not be coaching against Oregon State, tough one, Rutgers, and then they threw in, just for good measure, number 16, TCU. Really cracking the whip on this one. Now, Urban Meyer said his allegiance to his former mentor and Buckeyes coach Earl Bruce, who is Zach Smith's grandfather, is what clouded his judgment. That's what caused him to miss those red flags about his former assistant's behavior. Meyer said, "I followed my heart, not my head. I gave Zach Smith the benefit of the doubt." Of course, Meyer said he supports and trusts the decision of university president Michael Drake, who made this decision to suspend him. He also said he was not aware of all of Zach Smith's behavior while he was coaching at Ohio State, but that he should have been more aware. "I wish I could go back and make different decisions, but I can't. These difficult lessons are a constant reminder the duties and obligations that I have as a member of this university and this community. I take full responsibility." The thing that stood out to me, though, were the comments from lead investigator Mary Jo White, who spoke on Wednesday night. And she said a big part of the investigation with this whole situation with Urban Meyer stemmed from the statement Meyer made July 24th at Big Ten Media Days when he said he didn't know about a July 2015 accusation of domestic violence against Zach Smith. And here's what she had to say when he basically lied to the media on those Big Ten media days. "Coach Meyer falsely stated that he lacked knowledge of all relevant events regarding alleged domestic violence by Zach Smith in 2015. While those denials were plainly not accurate, Coach Meyer did not, in our view, deliberately lie." Think about that one for a second. And you know what? You don't even have to think about it. Let me just lob this out to you. The next time you stay out a little too late, and maybe you have a few too many beverages, and maybe you're consorting with some people that could get you in trouble with your significant other, and you come home and you say, no, that's not who I was with. I wasn't hanging out with them. We weren't doing anything wrong. We didn't do anything bad. And then your significant other finds out you were lying about that. Try using this denial. "Hey, you know, my denial was plainly not accurate, but I didn't deliberately lie." What do you call it if you knew the truth and said a lie? Last I checked, that was deliberately lying. I don't even, like, I was more confused after watching the press conference and hearing them give Urban Meyer his punishment than I ever was before any of this started. At least I kind of understood it prior to the press conference. After the press conference, I have no idea what's going on. Here's the bottom line. Ohio State didn't want to get rid of Urban Meyer, so they're not getting rid of Urban Meyer. That's the bottom line. You know, we are a few months away, but we do have a little interesting news coming out in the world of college basketball. And no, for once, it's actually not a scandal. What? I know, pretty amazing, isn't it? But the NCAA announced on Wednesday that it has now developed the NCAA evaluation tool. They are calling it NET, and that it is going to replace the RPI as the primary sorting tool for teams that are under consideration to make the NCAA tournament. Now, the change, they say, is effective as of right now. NET will be used instead of RPI for this upcoming season. NET is going to take into account game results, strength of schedule, game location, scoring margin, offensive and defensive efficiency, and the quality of your wins and your losses. Now, Dan Gavitt, who is the senior vice president of basketball for the NCAA, he had this to say. What has been developed is a contemporary method of looking at teams analytically using results-based and predictive metrics that will assist the men's basketball committee as it reviews games throughout the season. While no perfect rankings exist, using the results of past tournaments are going to help ensure that the rankings are built on objective sources of truth. Now, we know that the RPI has been used since back in the early 80s. And we also know that there are a number of times we look at RPI when we're seeing teams that got in versus teams that didn't get in that NCAA tournament, and they don't make any sense whatsoever. They don't make one bit of sense. Sometimes you'll look at an RPI number and you'll say, well, yeah, I understand what your RPI says, but that's not what I see on the floor. That's not what we're actually seeing on the court. So it kind of makes the whole thing obsolete because none of it makes any sense. They are saying that these new NET rankings are going to be publicly available starting in late November, early December. They will be updated daily through Selection Sunday and then immediately after the NCAA tournament. They also say that this new system is not going to give more weight to games late in the season because it's going to omit game date and game order from the data compiled. Now, that's also very interesting because how many times do we see the committee say, hey, we're looking to take this team because they were hot late, or we're not taking this team because they had an injury late? According to the new NET system, those things might not come into play. They also say this new NET system caps the winning margin at 10 points to discourage teams from running up the score. The whole capping of the margin thing makes no sense to me because sometimes you do want to see how bad one team did lose by. The whole running up the score thing, that was cute back in elementary school. At the college level, I don't really care. I don't know if this new NET system is going to be any better. I really don't. It's going to be hard to tell. It's going to be something to watch this next college basketball season. But like I said, we have seen the RPI not make any sense whatsoever. So if this is maybe some small step in the right direction, hey, I'll gladly take it. Finally, the NFL says they are going to be sticking to their guns this season. It was announced yesterday that the NFL is not making any changes to the helmet rule that has been at the center of controversy throughout the preseason already. Troy Vincent announced the decision in a statement released yesterday. He said the NFL competition committee met today by conference call to discuss the new use of the helmet rule through the first 2 weeks of the preseason. The committee reviewed feedback received to date from players, coaches, and game officials, and resolved there will be no changes to the rule as approved by clubs this spring, which includes no additional use of instant replay. The committee also determined that inadvertent or incidental contact with the helmet or the face mask is not a foul. Can I just say what I think is going to happen with this helmet rule? And I know that there are a lot of people right now up in arms about the helmet rule. You're going to start throwing penalties on every single play for this helmet rule, and it's asking a lot of the officials, and I totally understand that. You're asking way too much of these refs to make all these decisions. But can I tell you what I think is actually going to happen with this rule? What I think is going to happen, and we've seen this before. We've seen it when the league comes in and they say, hey, we're really going to crack down on defensive pass interference this season. We're going to really cut down on that. We're sick of that. We want to open up the offensive stuff. We're not going to have that this year. And what we see is we see them call it super tight in the preseason. They call everything. If it's even on the edge, they call it. And then as the season starts, we will see it called less during maybe the first 3-4 weeks. Like the first month, it's still being called, but it's being called less. And then as the season really starts to develop, we get into midseason, we get into late season, we get into the postseason, we rarely see it. They'll start to just back off of it more and more. Unless you have like a blatant infraction, they're not going to throw the flag. And I think that's what the NFL is going to do in this situation. Here's the problem. And I know you're getting a lot of pushback from the players, getting a lot of pushback from the fans. Everyone's saying, hey, just give them dresses. Just make it flag football if you're going to do this. Here's the problem. You can't have lawsuits for millions and millions of dollars for head injuries by ex-players and also say, oh, and just let us keep playing however we want to. Do you see that discrepancy there? There's a problem there. So if you're going to sue the NFL and you're going to say, hey, these head injuries were caused because you didn't legislate them out of the game, and then they try to legislate them out of the game, you can't complain about it. You asked for that. That's what that lawsuit is starting to do. We are starting to see the ramifications of that lawsuit by ex-players. Hey, you can't have it both ways. It's a violent game. They are trying to make it a little bit less violent. Hey, coming back, we are going to continue our preparation for that football season by taking a look at the road to success this year. And in order to do that, we are going to take a quick look at a few of the most impactful games of the upcoming season. So as we continue to get ready for the upcoming football season, you know, we've kind of been talking all week about the road to success. We've looked at some teams that have a very difficult road to success. We've looked at a couple other teams. They have a more manageable road to success. And we know that as we look back at every season, there are certain games that kind of stand out in our memory. There are certain games along that road that we go, oh man, remember that game? That ended up being a really big game in the season. Remember that game? Remember that moment? We remember some of the best moments from the past season. You know, last year, we think of college football. And what do you remember about college football last year? Of course, we remember how it ends. We remember Alabama versus Georgia in the national championship game. Of course, we remember that. But there were a few other games. There were a few other moments that stand out. We think of Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield planting the flag at Ohio State. We all thought Ohio State was kind of done at that point. They weren't. Ohio State came back. They beat Penn State in a big comeback at home later in the season. You might remember Auburn actually beat Alabama. You might remember Central Florida actually beat Auburn in the bowl game. I don't know. You might remember Army beating Navy in the snow, which was a really, really fun game. No, it didn't really have any national implications, but it was super fun. Which games might we remember this coming college football season? I've got a few games here that you're going to want to kind of put on your calendar, and I know we're going to go a ways out now, but I've got a few games. Just kind of keep these in the back of your mind. These games are going to be important as we look at the road to success in college football this year. And you know what? They get started very, very early. We have three games on September 1st, next weekend, that are going to have huge national implications. First off, we have the Michigan Wolverines going to South Bend to face Notre Dame. You know, that series just got renewed. Remember, they had a 3-year break from that series, and this game is going to be huge in just a couple weeks. Michigan is number 14. Might be a little too high. We'll see. Notre Dame is number 12. That could also be a little bit too high. We'll see how these teams end up. We know Jim Harbaugh's job could be on the line. Michigan, Notre Dame, that could have some implications on this season. Also on September 1st, we have Louisville facing Alabama down in Orlando. Now we know the Louisville Cardinals will not have Lamar Jackson anymore. He's gone. But don't forget, Alabama also lost a number of players on the defensive side of the ball. Is there any way Louisville might give them a test early on? Also, September 1st, we talked about it a little bit earlier this week, but we have the Auburn Tigers facing the Washington Huskies in Atlanta. Now, that is a huge matchup for Auburn. You figure Auburn wants to get off to a good start. Auburn has a few pieces back. You know that they want to try to have a good showing against Washington. They want to try to beat the Pac-12. But that is a way bigger game for the Washington Huskies because you know they have thoughts of a national championship. Is there any way they can get past Auburn? Because if they do, we talked about earlier this week, that schedule gets much, much easier. The following week, we have Clemson going to Texas A&M. We have an ACC versus SEC matchup, and we know Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, he does know Clemson a little, doesn't he? Having been at Florida State for the past few years. Now, while at Florida State, Jimbo Fisher was 4-4 against Clemson, but he has lost 3 in a row. Is there any chance he could get the Aggies to rally? Would be very, very big if he could somehow knock off Clemson. Also on September 8th, we have Southern California going to Stanford in a rematch of the Pac-12 championship game last year, which, remember, USC squeaked out at the end. Now, are either of these two teams contenders to get back this year? Not a whole lot of talk about either Stanford or USC in the national picture. I know they'll be tough within the Pac-12, but a lot of the Pac-12 talk is all in Washington. Can either of these two teams step up? Moving over to the SEC on September 22nd, we have Georgia going to Missouri. Now, we know there has been a little bit of a tradition of the Georgia Bulldogs sometimes struggling a little bit early. Could the Missouri Tigers steal one? They should be pretty solid this year. On September 29th, we have Ohio State going to Penn State. Remember, we just talked about it. The Buckeyes stole one last year in Columbus. Any way Penn State could return that favor this year in Happy Valley, that's going to be a huge one. October 6th, we have the Red River Shootout, which is always huge, as Oklahoma and Texas get together. Oklahoma has won 6 of the last 8. They just named Kyler Murray their starting quarterback. They are going to start off the season ranked number 7. Texas is ranked number 23. Always a big one there. On October 20th, we have Michigan versus Michigan State. Here is a number I'm going to throw out to you. And when I say it, you're going to think I'm crazy. Do you realize Michigan State is 8-2 in the past 10 games against Michigan? That cannot be right. But it is. I checked. I looked. Can Jim Harbaugh somehow find a way to beat Mark D'Antonio? Michigan versus Michigan State will be big. On October 27th, we have a battle in the ACC that will probably tell us who the Atlantic champions are going to be, as Clemson goes to Tallahassee to face Florida State. Yeah, that's going to have some big implications on the season. On November 3rd, you have Penn State going to Michigan. Now, the Nittany Lions haven't beaten Michigan in Ann Arbor since 2009. If things are going well for Michigan at this point, Penn State is the kind of team that could sneak up on you, maybe kind of wreck your season. But here's the bigger thing. What if things aren't going well for Michigan at this point? What if by November, we have seen Michigan already take a few L's? Hey, the Penn State game could be a nail in the coffin for Jim Harbaugh. Also on November 3rd, we have another big Pac-12 game as Stanford goes to Washington. You know, like I said, Stanford, I don't know if they're being talked about in the national conversation, but make no mistake. Running back Bryce Love is going to be in the Heisman conversation without question. He is absolutely electric. Biggest question with Bryce Love is, can he stay healthy? So while Stanford is looking at this and saying, hey, we're trying to contend, we're trying to do some things, we want to get Bryce Love's name out there, Washington is looking at this and saying, hey, you are coming to our place in one of the biggest games we still have on the schedule, and we have national championship hopes. Stanford versus Washington, early November, that's going to be a huge one. As we get a little bit later into the schedule, November 23rd, we have a great Big 12 matchup as Oklahoma goes to West Virginia. Hey, and this could easily be a preview of the Big 12 championship game that will be coming later in just a few weeks after this. But if you want to see some huge points scored, Kyler Murray versus Will Grier, this game might be a basketball score at the end of it. That's on November 23rd. But on November 24th, we have the last of our huge college football matchups. We have Michigan going to Ohio State. Of course, we know the Buckeyes have won 6 in a row against that team up north. Hey, Jim Harbaugh, whatever he does this year, he cannot lose to Ohio State again. That might be the nail in the coffin if he loses to them again. Also on November 24th, we have Notre Dame going to Southern Cal. Remember last season. Remember, Notre Dame and Southern California was kind of built up as this big matchup. And then Notre Dame absolutely smacked the Trojans 49-14. You know, I'll just bet 49-14 hasn't been plastered all over the Trojans locker room all season, right? I'll bet they haven't seen that number once. Yeah, right. Also on November 24th, we have what might be the final game that is going to have huge, huge implications on this season. And that is the Iron Bowl as Auburn goes to Alabama and faces them in Tuscaloosa. Hey, as has been the case over the past few years, we have seen the Alabama-Auburn game. Whoever wins it sometimes ends up playing for a national title. We have seen upsets take place in this game. We have seen crazy finishes take place in this game. You can see there are a number of games, and that's just scratching the surface, but there are a number of games out there that are going to have such meaningful results as to how this college football season is going to shape up. You take a look at the road to success in college football. You saw some of those games along that road. Who can actually maneuver their way through it and find ways to keep winning during that season? Hey, coming back, we are going to continue to take a look at the most pivotal games to expect this season. And now we're going to change our attention over to the NFL. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. September's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Invaders. Forget the flying saucers. They're already here, and it might be too late. Embrace your new overlords with exclusive gear featuring some of your favorite alien invaders. September's Loot Crate theme features items from Alien, The Predator, The X-Files, and Venom. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Always good to save a little money when you can. Okay, so again, think back to last season in the NFL this time. What do you remember from the NFL season a year ago? Obviously, the biggest thing that stands out to us is how it ends. We remember the Super Bowl between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. I mean, maybe you remember the Vikings and the Saints playing that memorable playoff game. The Steelers and Patriots actually played a really fun late season game where we all kind of scratched our heads and tried to figure out what's a fumble and what's a catch and what constitutes a catch and what is controlling the ball through the process of the ground or whatever that nonsense was. We remember that. We remember Aaron Rodgers ripping the Dallas Cowboys' hearts out of their chest in week 5. We remember Aaron Rodgers going down for the season just a few weeks later. The Buffalo Bills actually made the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks did not. And the Kansas City Chiefs pounded the New England Patriots early in the season, and everyone looked at New England and said, I don't know, they kind of just look like they're done. I think it's about over for New England, just like we kind of do every year. So what are going to be those pivotal games this season that we're going to be looking at this time next year? We've got a few games that stand out to us as we look at the NFL going into the year. And we get started right off the bat again in week 1. In week 1, we see the San Francisco 49ers go to Minnesota to face the Vikings. Are the Niners truly a contender? I'm not positive. I know they won some games late last year, but it's really hard to tell what they're truly made of because a number of those wins were against bad teams. And some of those wins were against teams that had already had their playoff spot clinched, so they didn't really have anything to gain by beating San Francisco. Going to be interesting to see in week 1. Which team is better? The Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo or the Vikings and Kirk Cousins? It's going to be a fun way to start off the season. On September 23rd, we have the battle for Los Angeles. We have the Chargers facing the Rams in LA. You know that both of these teams are hoping to have bragging rights in their own city. But you also know that both teams are hoping for some postseason success. So Chargers versus Rams, that's not just a cosmetic game. That's a pretty important early season game. On October 28th, we actually have two pretty big games. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles facing the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. You know, we were actually just 30 minutes away from this being the Super Bowl matchup last year. And then, you know, Blake Bortles went all Blake Bortles on us. Aww. Oh, I know. He didn't play that bad. As long as you didn't watch the fourth quarter. But Philly versus Jacksonville could be a memorable game. Also on October 28th, we have a rematch of that NFC divisional playoff game that the New Orleans Saints had absolutely won until the Minneapolis Miracle and the Minnesota Vikings pulled off the crazy come-from-behind win right at the end. Hey, just going to throw this out there. Just a little free advice from the Daily Dose. Hey, Saints safeties, keep everything in front of you. Keep everything in front of you. Just a little free advice, just a reminder. On November 4th, we have the Los Angeles Rams facing the New Orleans Saints. You know, this could have some playoff seeding implications. Both the Rams and the Saints look like they should be contenders in the NFC. And you know, this is like an old NFC West matchup. Remember when the Rams and the Saints were in the same division? Except that we don't get to see like Vince Ferragamo versus Bobby Hebert. And that's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, I think I'd rather see this group. On November 18th, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers facing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Could the Jags do it again? Was that just a fluke last year? What is it about Jacksonville that bothers those talented Pittsburgh Steelers so much? Last year, these two teams faced each other twice. Once in the regular season, once in the postseason, the Jags won both games. And they won them by a combined score of 75-51. 75 points from Jacksonville? Hey, it's a good thing sports betting wasn't legal everywhere last year. There might have been an investigation on that game. Another big game that's going to be coming later in the season is the Kansas City Chiefs going to Los Angeles to face the Rams. You know, the Chiefs are hoping that maybe they're going to have something going this year with new quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Now, I expect he is going to make way more mistakes than Alex Smith does, but he will also be way more explosive than Alex Smith is. The Chiefs going to LA to face their defense should be a very, very interesting test for Patrick Mahomes. And then as we get into December, we have the Minnesota Vikings going to Foxborough to face the New England Patriots. There's no way this would be like a Super Bowl preview, right? There's no way we could be taking a look at what might be the Super Bowl matchup, Kirk Cousins, and a very, very good Minnesota defense facing Tom Brady and the Patriots. That wouldn't happen, would it? I don't know, maybe. On December 16th, we have a couple other things that might be previews as well. Because on December 16th, we have the New England Patriots going to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers again. Hey, we have to ask this almost every single year. Is this maybe an AFC championship preview? Is this maybe an AFC playoff preview? Should be, shouldn't it? Steelers versus Patriots? Seems like they see each other quite a bit in the postseason. Also, on December 16th, we have the Philadelphia Eagles going to LA to see the Rams. And again, could this be an NFC championship preview? Could this be an NFC playoff preview? You would certainly think that it might be both. You know, we take a look at some of those big games that are coming this season, and we know there are going to be memorable games. It never goes exactly like we think it's going to go. There are going to be other teams that step up that we're going to say, oh man, when the season started, we weren't even thinking about that team. We weren't even considering that team. Look at last year. How much talk did we do about the Philadelphia Eagles going into the year? Very little. They were not on everyone's minds. We were looking at the same old teams. We were saying, what's Dallas going to do? This year, we're not even talking about Dallas. We're not even talking about some of those lesser teams on each side of the conferences. We're looking at the same teams as we did last year. But we know, we can see as these games start to shape up, there are going to be surprises, both good and bad. We will see teams that we're not even considering step up. We will see teams that we think just might be Super Bowl contenders. Yeah, and they probably won't even make the playoffs. That's just how football is. It is just so completely unpredictable, and it's going to be here before we know it. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be looking at the latest sports news and stories. Make sure that we get you the latest and greatest info as it comes out to us. Plus, as we do on most Fridays, we will be previewing the weekend in sports and take a look at what might be out there over Saturday and Sunday that you might want to keep an eye on. Like I said, there are a couple, not a lot, there are a couple of small college football games out there that are going to be available to watch. Also, as we do every single Friday, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you've always got to check in on the show and see what the Daily Dose Top 5 has to offer. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you so much for the feedback. Thank you for subscribing to the show wherever you listen. Thank you for the questions, the tweets, the suggestions. Thank you so much for sharing the show. We appreciate that so much. Hey, I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.